Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming
with tonight's guest, author Barbara Carlin.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky with the stars.
And musical guest, Little Donnie Frinta. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
There are so many things that we could talk about today, and in a way, it's hard to know where to start. First of all, I could start by saying, yes, we can call our guest an author, and that would be true. What we are exploring tonight, however, with her, is the fact that she could very well be the reincarnation of Anne Frank. You know, the Diary of Anne Frank. You know, actually, supposedly, the Diary of Anne Frank is the number two most bought and read book in the world. That's number two to the Bible, is what I understand. And so even if it ends up being like 2.5 or 3, I don't know, but it's up there. And so everybody knows Anne Frank. So there is so much we could talk about if this here, our guest, is the reincarnation of Anne Frank. However, so we could talk about the Holocaust. We could talk about the Jewish. We could talk about the attic. We could talk about so many things. We are going to focus primarily on reincarnation and her new book and the wolves howled and the fact that it's being turned into a film. So that's all really exciting. And, you know, in doing research for the show, I learned that over half of the world, this is what I read recently, over half of the world believes in reincarnation. And I thought, well, I think I live in the part of the world that doesn't. And I think part of the problem is that people don't talk about it. If that many people actually believe in it, and that many people don't, I mean, that many people can't be wrong, and that many people can't be wrong. But I think in the part of the world where we don't talk about it, I think we should. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, I'm part of the problem. Because I remember being a child and having certain experiences and sharing them with my parents or with others in the community and feeling like I shouldn't have. And I stopped. And then today, I'm inspired. And here's an example. So here I was, a little boy, and we didn't have a TV growing up. Okay, I know how does that happen? But it's true. And I would walk around, I would take a towel out of the bathroom and put it underneath a robe. And I'd walk around like I was wearing an ascot and an evening jacket. And that's what I would do. My mother's like, what are you doing? Who are you? What's going on? And I thought, this is the way we gentlemen were supposed to walk around the house. And I would do that often. Now, when I was 6 years old, and my mother was pregnant with my younger brother. And at six, I had a recurring dream about an incident that happened with my brother. And I attributed it to something that happened. I felt remorse, and I didn't know how to share it with people. I shared it. They thought it was strange, but it kept recurring until my mother actually gave birth to my brother, and then it stopped. And my brother's and my relationship was really difficult at the beginning. And I think it's related to something in that dream. It was telling me of something that happened that I felt remorse about. And it must have been a past life. And then finally, I'll share today in the book, The Little Dog That Could, that we just released, that I wrote, I share about when I met Dorothy, I knew her and she knew me. And the fact that in Dorothy's case, she was looking for me. You'll have to read the book to find out about that. But there, I've done my part in sharing about what could very possibly be my experience of reincarnation. And now we're going to talk with our guest, Barbara Carlin, who's going to do her part. And all of you, go do your part. And when we, after the show, All that and our musical guest, little Donnie Frinta, right after we come back here on the Life Changer Show.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So I'm sitting here with Mark Leisure. And Mark, when you were a kid, did you have any experiences that, here, do your part.
I have, actually. I've had a number of experiences, but I would say even more interesting than watching those play out in odd ways through my life is having a, whatever the words would be for somebody that's a psychic or a stargazer or whatever, but this woman who wasn't even a friend of the family or that, it was kind of a random messaging, if you will, told a story about a son that I was going to have. And then later, to maybe age three, I listened to the exact same story told to me about a dream that my son had by my son. And so put those two together was very interesting.
Wow. Wow. Well, that sounds like a show in itself. Mm. Wow. Interesting. You never told me that. Okay. Well,
no, I'm saving it for the show.
After the show, we're going to talk more about that. So, you know, listen to this. In 1945, well, actually Anne Frank was born in 1920. She died in 1945. She was what, 15 or so. And Barbara Carlin, our guest, it's weird talking about a woman's age, but I have to say, it was born in 19. I have permission, right?
Yes.
Was 99 in 1954. So that's 9 years after Anne Frank's death. Herself, Barbara, in 1966, at the age of 12, she was a best-selling author, a poet in Sweden. She was the most popular Swedish author at the time. And still to date for her poetry. So she already, at such a young age, she came with something, obviously, that people could say she brought from a previous life. Well, hello, Anne Frank wrote a diary, if you didn't know about it. Anyway, but here's the thing. At the age of two, Barbara told her mother that her real name was Anne Frank. 2 years old. Mm. Actually, I don't want to say anymore because she's right here. We're so happy to have you. And we're so grateful to have you here and to for Lael, beloved, to have introduced us to you. So let's say hello to you first.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. At the age of two, you told your mother that you were Anne Frank.
I did.
And your mother said, of course you are.
Well, she said rather that don't talk such nonsense. And at that time, she didn't know about Anne Frank because Anne Frank's diary was not published in Sweden at the time. So she didn't recognize the name. So,
wouldn't know her either?
No, no. Nobody knew of that name.
And there were no TVs then?
No, we certainly didn't have one.
Wow. And so that name just comes out at 2 years.
Yeah,
ago.
And it was, for me, it was... I don't remember when I was two, but this is later when my mother told me when I first started to talk about it. I remember vividly memories from when I was about four and five, and the horrific memories I had from my past life carrying with me. So it was a strange grow-up period because I was like in two lives at the same time.
Yeah, talk about two lives at the same time. You had that kind of an experience at the age of 10, which you do very vividly remember. Mm-hmm. So what happened at around 10 years old?
Well, I will go back a little bit first in time and say that, you know, I was constantly waiting for my dad to come and pick me up. So I told my mother and father every day, basically, that you're very nice people, but you're not really my parents, and my real father would come and pick me up.
Mr. Frank.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
interesting.
So they got quite nervous about what I was talking about, and they tried to quiet me down, and they didn't really, really want to develop into it anymore, to find out anything more about it. They just wanted me to be a normal kid. Mm. And then as I grew up, and when I was 7, I started to learn to write and read. And that was a liberation, because then I could express what I had inside me and that I was not really allowed to talk about that much. So I started to write night and day, basically, and mostly at nights, really, when nobody could see me, and my parents thought I was sleeping. Mm. So at the age of 10, the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, was of course published in Sweden at that time. And I had found out through my school that Anne Frank was a famous person, and I shouldn't really talk about that I knew that I was her.
Well, you tell the story, I love this, that the teacher is talking about Anne Frank, and you said something like, wait a minute, why is she talking about
me?
Yeah,
I could not answer, because that was the first time that I knew that somebody else knew that name. And when she held up the book and she said that this diary, I want you all to read this diary, and then you need to write something, a little essay about what your thoughts are about it.
Boy, so, could you have written an essay?
That was a long essay.
So we all got the book home, and I had it in my, I remember so clearly, I had it in my backpack, and it was sitting on the floor, and I sat down to write about the book, about the diary. And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I just could not make myself open it up and read it, because I knew what was in it. I knew exactly what was written there. And it was like, now when I look at my childhood books, I know I've written them, I know what's in them, but of course I don't know them word by word. And that was the feeling I had as a child when I looked at the diary. Mm. I knew what was in it, and I knew exactly what the subject was. And so I wrote my essay without opening the book. And after,
really?
When the teacher then went through everything, and then she said that everybody did a good job, but Barbara's essay was the most captivating, because she has really catch the whole essence of Anne Frank.
I'm getting chills.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Fast forward to 10 years old.
Yes. My parents at that time wanted to go on a trip around Europe and visit the big capitals. So we went to London and to whatever more we went to. But we went to London, and Amsterdam was one of the capitals that we were going to go to. And when we came there and we stayed at the hotel room, my dad said, okay, let's go now and see Anne Frank's house so we get that out of the way. and he said, I'll call a cab so we can go. And I said to them, I said, we don't need a cab, we're very close. Mm. And said, so what do you know about that? Mm. And I said, I just know that we are close, so we can walk there. So my mother said, let her show us, see what she's doing. So they followed me, and we walked down, and I knew exactly where we were, and we walked around a couple of blocks. And as we came to the end of one corner, I said that it's around the next corner. And there was the house on the other side of the river. And when I saw the house, it's a big, big building. I saw they had changed the stairs outside, that I didn't recognize the stairs. So I said mostly to myself, basically, that they have changed the stairs. And my dad was very, very skeptical and almost a little bit angry. He said, don't be ridiculous. And you've never been here before. And how you found your way here was just luck. Mm. And so we went in, and as I came into the house, all those horrific memories that I have experienced in my nightmares came over me. And of course, I grabbed my mother's hand and I said, I don't know if I can go in here. And she said, no, you shouldn't. And she could see how distressed I was. Mm. So she said, let's just go again. But I said, you know, I want to go in. I want to go in. I was there, and I really felt I had to do that.
I hate to do this at this moment. I want to go into with you, and I don't. at the same time, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I we're going to go in and find out what you found there. And it's amazing to me how you went, if you reincarnated, you went from one horrible childhood to another very difficult childhood. It's just fascinating to me. So when we're going to come back, we're going to talk more about all those experiences, and then we're going to get to talk about the book and the movie and so many exciting things. And a little later on, our musical guests, Little Donnie Frinta, all that here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Barbara Carlin, who is potentially the reincarnation of Anne Frank. And we're just learning exactly just how that might be the case. We were about to walk in the house, if you all have been following the story. Now, when you say the house, is it the house where she was born and raised, or the house where she was in hiding?
Where they were hiding.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know this part.
Yes.
Okay.
So so we walked up the stairs and came up to the hidden part of the attic.
And so for people that don't know, as a Jewish girl in the 1940s, her and her family and I think a couple other people
How
many?
Many other people
were hiding in this, like, all in very close quarters, and they couldn't leave.
No,
and they had to be quiet. And
absolutely, it was on top of a business building where the business was going on during the day, so everything had to be very, very quiet during the day, and then at night you could walk around and do things, but not during the day.
For a couple of years at least.
Yes, yes.
And what's horrible, I mean, it's all horrible, but after all that, then they still ended up dying.
Yeah.
Okay, so please.
So we walked up the stairs and we came up to the attic and into the room where Anne Frank had her little bed and bedroom. And as I walked in there, I was horrified, but then I saw that all the pictures was still on the wall that I knew I had put up there. And it was pictures of from newspaper and magazines of Hollywood stars and singers and things like that. It was all up on the wall. And so I turned to my mother. I said, "Look, all the pictures are still there." And she looked and the wall was empty.
So you were seeing...
I saw the pictures and the wall was empty. There was no pictures there. So she looked at the wall and she said, "What do you mean, Barbara? There are no pictures on the wall. So what are you talking about?" So I got so stressed and shocked myself, because I knew I saw them a second earlier and they were there. I could have gone up and taken one. Mm. So I started to cry and I said, they are there. I know they are there. And I know I put them there.
Wow.
And so my mother, she walked to the guide and she said, has there ever been pictures on the wall there? And the guy said, yes. We took them down because people were taking them and destroying them. So we're putting pictures behind glass and we're going to put them up again. And my mother said, what kind of pictures? And she said, Hollywood stars and singers.
Wow.
And things. Mm. And I think that was the moment when my mother realized that reincarnation was a fact, that it was not just something that I had talked about over all those years. She all of a sudden put one and one together and she totally got it. And I, at that time, when I got that confirmed and she said, I believe you, I really, really believe you. I just wanted to get out. I said, I have to get out of here. And so we went out and my father, not the father that is here with me, he's my stepfather, but my real father, he was quite annoyed, really. He was upset. And he said, I cannot deny that you must have been here before, one way or another. And I know you have not been here in this life. So if you are reincarnated, that might be so, but you're the only one in that case, because reincarnation doesn't exist.
Exactly. Wow. Wow.
So he never talked about it after that. But my mother, she got really into it and really spiritual, and she wanted to talk about it a lot. But for me, it was enough. I had got the confirmation. I was there, and I knew that she finally believed me. So I didn't need to talk about it anymore. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. So I just started to press back the memories, and I wanted to become Barbro more and more and more. So I didn't really talk about it until my book was published in 1998.
So this book and The Wolves Howled, you were telling me earlier before the show that it is something that had to come out of you, that you just had to get it out. It was...
Yeah, I wrote books up until I was 16 years old. I had 9 books published when I was 16.
But they were not
but
about...
They was not. They were, in a way, they were about reincarnation, because I wrote about that we are coming from life to life. But I did not write telling what my memories were, that mm-hmm. I had been Anne Frank. I wrote about people, humans, how we should act towards each other, and nature, how we should treat nature. And animals, and that, you know, what you do in one life will come back in the next life, and so forth. So there was, all books had a red line through them that was reincarnation, and about the higher power, about that good will always conquer, and that was the theme of all my books. And there were many, not just poetry books, but it was also story books, so to speak. So then I stopped basically writing when I was 16. And then I wrote for myself, but I did not publish anything. And then when this book came to be, it was a series of events in my life that brought me to the point where I was on the brink of, didn't know if I was going to survive mentally or not. It was a very, very difficult time in my life. And if I haven't had the memories from my past life, and if I haven't been given the opportunity to see the connection between the two lives,
mm-hmm.
I would not have made it. And that was
you
the
would
reason
have ended your life.
I would have.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why I knew I had to write the book, because I know that there are so many people out in the world that going through things that I went through, even in different situations, but still very, very difficult things. And I think that if you can sometimes get a reason to why things are happening, or you can see the light in the tunnel to something better, then it's easier to, first of all, deal with it, but also to see the connection between the lives. And that really, really saved me.
Well, and understanding the just the basic possibilities, but then being able to kind of accept the other memories, the other thoughts, right, has to contribute to sanity. I can't imagine how many people are walking around, you know, with these memories and feeling conflicted, struggling
exactly.
with that, right?
And I truly believe that a lot of people that are marked as mentally ill, so to speak, they might just have very, very strong memories. And I could have been marked as a mentally ill person if my parents had been different, or if I had been, you know, because I was really out there. I mean, I was saying to people I was Anne Frank. At that time in the 50s in Sweden, that was considered to be mentally ill, I think. My mother
seemed like
me,
you're rejecting your identity.
Yeah, exactly. My mother sent me to a psychologist and tried to figure out what was wrong with me. And at the time, I realized I should not tell him what I knew. So I pretended to be totally normal, and he bought it. So he said, she's fine. But I think that it will help people that are struggling, maybe with identity or with memories they have, things that they are afraid of, you know, phobias. I had so many phobias growing up. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I can still not eat beans. I mean, if somebody put beans in front of me, I'm almost throwing up.
Because that's something
I lived on that for 2 years. Yeah, okay. That was all we could eat. Mm. But that also goes back to, I was terrified of uniforms. When I saw people in uniforms when I was a child, I always hiding behind my mother. Mm. And when I grew up and I started to drive a car, and I was expected to stop when the police wanted to talk to me, and I wanted to drive away instead, that was not a good idea. So I realized that I have to do something about this, because I knew where the phobia came from, but I couldn't handle it.
Interesting.
And my resolution to that was that I became a police officer.
I love it. That's brilliant. That's brilliant, which is one of the things that led to the horses and all that, which led to the book. And it's fascinating. There are so many stories here within stories. I have to ask you, and I think you don't like this question, but if you were Anne Frank in a past life, that means Anne Frank was somebody else in a past life.
Yeah.
And that is potentially connected to you and so forth and so on. And what do you have?
I mean, it's the same soul. It's the same higher you that is you. And that is take possession into a body. And whether that body is a famous person or an insane person or a sick person or a rich person, you have to go through it all. It's like we go into school. You start in first grade, and one day you graduate. And that's the same thing here, that you have to go to the school of life, and you go through it.
What did Anne Frank learn?
And Frank had...
In that lifetime.
Yeah, and Frank had the faith that good would always conquer. And all, in spite of all the evil and all the horrific things that was faced, she still, at the end, believed that good will conquer. And that was my first, when I started to write my books, and the first thing that I wrote about is that is the main thing in life, is that we have to believe in the good. We have to believe in the positive force and push away the evil forces. And that is very, very important in days like this, that more and more people can embrace and really, really believe in that good will conquer, and not go into this everything into the misery, so to speak, where everything is bad and everything. And it is the subconscious of the whole human race that could change.
That is so much coming from somebody like Anne Frank, who experienced what she experienced, and like you, who experienced what you've experienced. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you've put in the book, and then what you've extracted from the book and put into the movie, and then what you're doing this weekend at Cinefamily, right?
Yes, Cinefamily.
Let me give the website real quick for your website, which is Barbara Carlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So BarbaraCarlin.com, and that's spelled B-A-R, I have it here, BarbaraCarlin.com, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And there they'll also find other interviews that you've posted and other information.
And also Facebook has its own page, Barbara Carlin and Frank page. Where all the information is about Saturday and other things.
Ah, very good. Okay, and then we'll give that information as well when we get back. This is fascinating. Again, a little later on, we're going to continue our conversation with Barbara Carlin and our musical guest, Little Donnie Frinta, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and as you can hear, we are talking because we just can't stop. This is so very fascinating, and we're so happy that we have this conversation happening. If you like what you've been hearing, of course, you could go to lifechangesnetwork.com and learn more. We've got another interview that we've posted on there and more information about Barbara Carlin. Also, this weekend, Yes Salon, thanks to Kale Belove at the Cinefamily, is going to have you, Barbara, speaking, and you're also, I believe, going to be interviewed. I will actually be directing a tolerance festival in Rancho Mirage, which is very related. I think mm-hmm. the two should have come together.
Yeah, yes.
That's this Saturday, January 23rd of 2016, from 11 to 2 at the Silent Movie Theater on Fairfax. So to learn more about that, you said you've got the information on your website?
It's Barbara? On the Facebook page, Barbara Carlin and Frank, Facebook page.
Okay, very good. And then there's also an Eventbrite page. So if you're familiar with Eventbrite, you can go to barbaracarlin-andfrank.eventbrite.com. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can get tickets and go be a part of this event and continue the conversation. We so many things came up. Yes, Mark brought up a good point. Something about an oversoul. Is that what you said? And
yeah.
I don't understand this. It's like, is it one person that travels, or many mm-hmm. of us, or is it a big soul, or is it whatever? Mm-hmm. But it's more than we can handle right now in this conversation.
It is. Excuse me for interrupting you, but I think it's very important also to point out that this is not a religion per se. Yes, it's included in a lot of religions, reincarnation. But I don't belong to any religion of any kind. All I do is that I remember my past life, and I know that we live life after life, and that's a fact for me. And I feel an obligation to tell about my memories and what I have experienced in this life and how it helped me to survive, like I said. And as my life as Anne Frank, I didn't have a choice. I could not choose to survive or not survive. And in this life, when I was about the brink of ending my own life because of all the terrible things that happened, I realized that I do have a choice this mm-hmm. life. And I made that choice that instead of ending it, I choose to say yes to life and to spread this message on reincarnation, because it will change the world. And it has nothing to do with religion at all. It just has to do with that we all realize that We can be Christians in one life and Muslims in the next and Jews in the next and white or yellow or black. You have to go through it all.
Wow. And in this book here, And the Wolves Howled, Fragments of Two Lifetimes, what's fascinating is that the experience of the experience is an experience in itself, right? Yeah. And that's what this book is about. Mm-hmm. It's you and Anne living together.
In a way, it is. It is, yes. I'm starting from the beginning, telling about my memories and how I grew up with them and then the events that took place in my life that totally changed my decision of never talking about my previous life or my memories, because I didn't think that I should. Then I realized I had to.
The dreams, the nightmares.
And then what brought it all together. Mm-hmm.
So out of this, you and Aramis Fontenelle, or mm-hmm.
Fontenelle, yeah.
Uh-huh, have created a partnership and have created a screenplay.
Yes, that's
right.
Now,
the screenplay has a new name, and, mm-hmm. and that is?
It's Above and Beyond.
Above and Beyond.
Yep.
And I understand that's going to be turned into a book also.
Yes, it is.
So what is the difference between this book and that one?
When Aramis contacted me a few years ago, he had read the book, And the Wolves Howled, and he said it was a gruesome reading because it's very, very hard to read. It's very dark in a way. Because mm-hmm. it was so close to me when I wrote it. I wrote it in less than 2 months, and it just came out of me like a volcano, basically. And I didn't really edit it that much. I just wanted it off my heart. Mm-hmm. And then it was published, and there is the book. And he had read it, and he said, I really, really think that this would be an excellent movie, but it needs to be written in a different way, where there is more balance between the light and the terrible moments, because otherwise nobody would want to see this movie, especially not more than once. We worked together on it, and out came this screenplay, Above and Beyond, that I really truly feel gives more justice to my story and my life.
It feels like it gives more justice to the message.
Exactly.
Because if the message is all about light and good, then if how we got there was through the negative, okay. But if mm-hmm. we stay in the negative, then we can't get to the other.
Absolutely. So it came out really, really well. And then we decided that we wanted to write a book that is based on the screenplay.
Interesting.
So it will be Above and Beyond the book.
Okay, but in the meantime, people could get And the Wolves Howl.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere on Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Has all my books, yes.
And, of course, at your website, BarbaroCarlin.com. Mm-hmm. Mark, you weren't here when I said this to her, but neither was the audience, come to think of it, so I'm going to say it again. Before the show started, it's like, you have to come back.
Yeah, I was thinking that on the way here as well. How do you do this in the amount of time that we have?
And now I can say it honestly, you know, you have to come back, because there's so many things, there's so many places I want to go, and I think I can hear your mind going, Mark, going, oh, I want to ask this. I think in the short time that we have, what about the bad things that are happening to you? Now, I hope no bad things are happening to you, but in our day to day, we experience things. I mean, nobody's life is perfect. Are you able to say this is part of this life experience? What are you able to do with stuff that comes your way that doesn't feel good right now, based on everything that you've shared?
I don't necessarily go back to and say, oh, that's from my past life, or that's from my past life. I really very much live in the now, and I have a very nice, good life. I'm training horses, and I write screenplays, and I live in a beautiful place. And so I don't have that much. But if I happen to have any, I think I deal with it like everybody else. You know, you look at it from different angles and you try to find a solution to it. And I don't blame my previous life or anything else. I know when I have an experience that is based on a phobia or something, I know that. So then I can, you know, just shake my head to myself and say, I know where that comes from. But normal life issues is just like for everybody else.
And with your past experience and your remembering of it, are you thinking about your next life yet?
Not really.
Can you imagine doing it all over again, being a baby again?
That's pretty hard, you know, and go to school again and all that. But, you know, we don't have much choice. That's the problem. But it is what it is. And we just have to do the best out of it. And I think that we can really help each other and most of all help children that do have these memories, that we allow them to talk about it and we maybe even encourage them to talk about it, because it will help them and the parents to understand if there are difficulties or whatever the child wants to do, or it really, really opens doors that is, I think, it's very important to open.
You know, there is another book in there, Remembering the Time You Remembered You Were Anne Frank.
At least another book. Okay, so as we close, I want to again mention Yes Salon and the fact that you'll be speaking at the Silent Movie Theater this coming weekend, January 23rd of 2016. And so people can find out information on Eventbrite. It's called the Barbara O'Carlin Anne Frank Eventbrite page, or just go to Barbara O'Carlin. I'll give that website spelling one more time, BarbaroKarlen.com. Did you think of maybe calling the website Anne Frank? I mean,
No, it's, you know, it is a very touchy subject. And especially when you go out and you say that you have been somebody famous, and then people say, how come that people never remember anyone not famous? And that's not true, because a lot of people do remember past lives where they are just Mrs. Smith or Mr. Jones. And it's just that they are never heard. Nobody is interested in talking to them about it. Mm. And the reason I went public was not because I wanted to tell the world that I was Anne Frank, but I needed to talk about reincarnation and the importance of how lives are connected to each other.
Well, what a great way to do it. The book is called And the Wolves Howled, Fragments of Two Lifetimes, and that's available everywhere. And of course, the movie that we need to be looking for is Above and Beyond with Aramis Fontanelle, and look forward to getting to interview you again when that is ready to come out. So in a minute, could you encapsulate that beautiful message that you were sharing? I think it'd be a great way to end the conversation. All of these experiences led you to understand and believe what?
Yeah, it's not that I believe anything, because I know. And that's the difference. Mm. So for me, it's so obvious that we all have past lives and future lives, and that it's so important to me to try to get that message out as much as I can, especially when we look back to what happened in my past life. Mm. And if, or when rather, reincarnation will be accepted by the whole world, and you know as a fact, it's not a religion, as a fact, that next life you might be a Muslim, or next life you might be Jewish, or next life you might be handicapped, or you might be poor in India, or you whatever. All of a sudden you realize that you are me and I am you, and we have to try to help each other the best we can instead of pushing each other down.
And that good prevails.
And then we also need to take care of our planet, so we have a place to come back to, because it's hard to reincarnate if the planet is destroyed.
And there's a positive outlook that you know about the future for civilization, the planet, and humanity?
Absolutely. I have big, big hopes for humanity and for the consciousness of human beings, that they will realize that we have to take a step in a different direction, and things really have to change. And I really truly believe that good will conquer.
We certainly took a big step together today. Mm. Thank you so much for helping us do that and for helping us share our stories as well.
Thank you for having me.
Barbara Carlin. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And when we come back, more pleasure, more music by Lil Donnie Frinta, Don and John and John, all here after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. If you could hear the sounds of music in the studio, that's because we are live with our guest, Lil Donnie Frinta. That's the name of the band, right? And
it's my name.
That's and you're actually Don Frinta.
Mm-hmm.
But Lil Donnie Frinta is like what you go by as the singer.
Yes.
Okay. and we've got John Wells with us on those look like drums. And John Schreffer, is it? On, I don't know what that is.
A pedal steel guitar.
That makes that country sound.
The country sound, that's right.
Okay. Okay, but this is not exactly country music, is it, Don?
No, it's not country music. It's sort of singer-songwriter music. I'd say my dream is to really write for other people. I think that's the most exciting thing. I've done a lot of playing and some touring, and I think the next stage of my life, I would really love to write for other people, other artists.
Well, you've done some of that already. You've written for movies and all that. So, and that's really cool. You know what? I love this. You say, I can't imagine what my life would have been without the gift of music. Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate on that?
I think every kid needs something, you know, and something to give them self-esteem, something to take them out themselves out of the everyday, and I don't think I really realized what a gift it was until I got older and I kind of looked around, and my friends who didn't play music thought, oh, so lucky you can sit down and play the piano, you can sit down and listen, you know, listen to something and play it. And I thought, gosh, can't everybody do that? And my friends would say, no, really, not everybody can't do that. So it took me a long time to stop taking it for granted and kind of go, wow, you know, and this is really, really a great thing. And I grew up with a certain amount of tragedy in my childhood. I lost my brother and sister growing up, and it was, of course, tough on my parents and the family. And it really gave me somewhere to put the language, somewhere to put my feelings, because I didn't know maybe how to talk about them or how to process them. But I always thought in metaphors, so it gave me a place to sort of channel that.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're going to be channeling some of that into music here live in the studio with John and John. And what are we going to hear first?
This is a song I had originally hoped to write for another artist that I was hoping it might fit for. And I still hope that I'll find that person that might want to do it, because I really like the song. It's called I Never Knew.
I Never Knew. Well, here's a little Donnie Frinta with I Never Knew. It life changing.
Two. Helped you up.
kids can be so cruel. You were sweet. The gas thieves and say about me and you, kicking off our shoes wild on the breeze. I knew every story you could tell. You knew all of mine and could tell them just as well. I never knew. I never knew. I never knew. My side, my old friend, and you walked me down the aisle in my daddy's place, and that smile on your face was your tell. You knew every record on your shelf. Just as well, but I never knew. I never knew. I never knew you were in love. I never knew. I never knew. I never knew.
I don't know. I think you wrote that for you. I think you're singing it. It sounded fantastic. Great.
Well, thank you.
I know you produced a song for Rachel Haddon and Hayden, and that just came out recently. And
yes.
People can get that at greenwayrecords.com, right?
That's right.
And that's Devils in Me.
Yes.
Now, we have a link for your SoundCloud. And a link for your Facebook. Is there a website we should be giving out?
Ldfrinta.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
You can listen to my songs either on SoundCloud or there, but you can actually purchase them there for a buck or something.
Oh, okay. Well, very good.
And the money goes directly to me, which is nice.
All right. Well, then we'll include that link as well. We're going to get to hear something else?
Yes. This is called Shiny Penny.
Shiny Penny? Oh, okay. Well, here's little Donnie Frinta with Shiny Penny on the Life Changes Show.
There used to be some symmetry to that picture that hangs on the wall. The carpet's bare, the ceiling is starting to fall. These rusted pipes are killing me, and I can see you're starting to pine. You used to see the good in me, and I guess it was a matter of time. 'Cause now you wanna shine me up like a penny and roll me around like a stone. Carry me around in your pocket until you get home. To say that we'd leave someday, and that the only luck left here was bad. The trip we made across the fruited plains and the mountain's majesty couldn't conquer the great divide. I could see how you were looking.
Donnie Frenta, and we had Don Frenta and John Wells and John Schreffer.
Schreffler.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I hope you keep singing your songs.
Thank you.
Even if anybody else sings them. And of course, they're all made, many other people sing them, but I hope you still keep singing your songs.
Thank you so much.
And again, give the SoundCloud website out again.
I don't know.
Just I'm sorry, the other one, the band camp.
L.D. Mm-hmm. Frinta, F as in Frank, R-I-N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, A as in Apple, L.D. Frinta at band, sorry, L.D. Frinta dot bandcamp.com.
See, no wonder I couldn't do it.
I can barely do it.
I'm glad you did it. And I'm so glad you were all here. That was great.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks to the guys for making it sound so awesome.
This is awesome. And yes, thank you to Brent Hahn for making it sound like that as well.
Thank you, Brent.
Barbara Carlin, such a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a show. we're going to reincarnate till next week, and then we're going to do this again as different people. We're going to be different. In the meantime, though, I want to give a big thank you to, again, Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, and to our program manager, Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Lejeur. A big shout-out to Kale Beloved. Again, Kale.
Lael.
I'm hungry, actually. you're lucky I didn't turn all your names into food. To Lael. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, I mean, what could be more appropriate than that? We're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.